Chapter 6, Jehovah Jireh. God loves you and me too. Here is another way to verify that statement he provides. He is our provider. Even when it seems like someone else is providing for us, God has provided for them that which they provide for us. Also, when we feel as though we are providing for someone else, it is God who provided us with that which we provide for others. We may think that it is by our own hands, our own sweat and labor, which we acquire the necessities and luxuries of today's life, but we are mistaken. God plays a role in it all. Some people take a lot of things for granted, not thanking God for them, and worse, not giving God credit for them. To not be thankful towards God is one thing, but to say and believe that you went out and got your own job, paid your own bills, and bought your own car without any help from God is selfish and just plain ignorant. Those would be the words and thoughts of someone who does not think highly of God, the one higher than everyone and everything. Who is it that formed the earth and created everything by merely speaking it into existence? Who is it that allowed you to be birthed from your mother's womb? Who is it that gave you a fully functioning brain, working limbs, the skills to do the work required of you? Who is it that made the job available? Who is it that touched the employer's heart and caused him to hire you and pay you honest wages? Who is it that woke you up each morning before work because he has a plan for you? Get the picture yet? Aside from money and materialistic things, God provides answers to questions in life that we have. He provides options in times of desperation. He provides necessities which some people of the world do not have. Most importantly, God provides His Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is our most powerful asset. Food and water. Therefore take no thought, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall add it unto you. Matthew 6:31, 33 KJV. Let's start with the basics. Our bodies are made up of approximately 2/3 of water. It has been reported that we should drink 8 cups of water each day. I just drank 2 pints of water in the past 2 hours, cool, refreshing, clean water. It wasn't bottled water, but it came straight from the faucet. In fact, I let it run for a few seconds until it was good and cold. Clean drinking water is something that lots of people take for granted, and I'm not going to lie as though I shouted hallelujah. Praise God for this water every single time that I had a drink. Neither have I verbally thanked God every time I filled up my cup. I don't even thank Him in my heart every time that I turn on the faucet, but I let God know that I appreciate Him in prayer and testimony, and I let others know that they should be grateful also. There are people in the world who do not have the same opportunities to quench their thirst with uncontaminated water. This does not mean that God loves them any less, though. God loves you and me too, and them. This is how I know that God loves you and me and people in other countries who don't have clean drinking water. To date, there are more people with clean drinking water than there were 15 years ago. God made this possible. He gives us the money, time, resources, and hearts to help those in need. God lives inside of us. God is love. So love is inside of us. See Romans 5:5. This love causes us to donate to charities, form outreach programs, and even travel overseas to assist those who are less fortunate than us. We waste a lot of water too when we take showers, spray our house windows, and wash our vehicles. I think this proves how much we take clean water for granted. Another thing we waste lots of is food. So many pounds of food are thrown in the trash every day, only to be taken to a landfill and covered with dirt or burned. If God provides us with only 10% of everything we eat and waste, it would still be enough to survive. Now, even though I do not say a prayer of thanks every time that I get a drink of water, I definitely say one every time before I eat. It doesn't matter if it's a 3-course meal or a chocolate chip cookie. I always thank God for it. I encourage others to do so, and I encourage you to do the same thing. I'm trying to get in the habit of thanking God every time before, after, or during the course of drinking water too. God loves us enough to provide for us even when we don't need it, so we should surely thank Him. We see the little children on television, all bony and poor, and think that it is not as bad as it seems. Some feel like the wealthier people should all pitch in and provide for all the hungry, since the commercials on TV are only asking for $5 or $6 per month. Truth is, all of us can help and should help. Send a $20 money order every 3 or 4 months to cover the donation. You can give it to the church, who should have outreach funds. Do not be worried about coming up short on a water bill that has to be paid. Use $20 from your grocery allowance. I'm sure that if you use that $20 bill every 3 or 4 months, you will not starve to death. Like so many people who die from hunger each day, trust that God will provide. In fact, He always has. He is right now, and He always will because He loves you, Isaac. This part of the chapter is about Isaac, Abraham's firstborn by his wife Sarah. I'm actually going to share two stories from Isaac's life with you. One occurred while he was a little boy and the other while he was a young man. I felt the need to share these two stories with you because they illustrate two instances in which God provided for His people. They demonstrate His love and purpose for Isaac, as well as other servants of God being faithful and obedient. This is a story from Genesis, a book in the Old Testament of the Holy Bible. As I'm aware that not everyone has access to the Old Testament, or else they choose not to read it because they have no version other than the King James Version, which can be difficult to understand sometimes. Some just do not read the Old Testament, which is the Old Covenant, because we are now under the New Covenant, which is the New Testament. True enough, we are no longer under the Old Covenant, but we can learn a lot from the Old Testament, especially if we have a study guide or a teacher. Abraham's wife was old, about 90 years old, and was Abraham about 100 years old. They were well past the age of childbearing when God made a promise to them that they would have a son, chapter 18. Sarah had been barren all her life, so this was hard to believe. God had promised Abraham that through his son he would be a father of many nations, see chapter 17. Isaac was born chapter 21, and when was a little boy, God gave his father, Abraham, a grave command. God said unto Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain. I will show you which mountain." Abraham, a faithful servant of God, did as God told him and traveled to the place where he was told. Then Isaac carried the wood and Abraham carried the fire and knife as they went up the mountain. Isaac knew that they were going to make a sacrifice to God, but there was no animal to offer. So he said to his father Abraham, "I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the offering?" Abraham replied, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." Sheesh 22. Indeed, God did provide. After Abraham tied up his son Isaac, placed him on the altar on top of the wood, and prepared to kill his son with a knife, the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and stopped him. Then suddenly Abraham noticed a ram caught in the bush by its horns, so he offered the ram as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. Ch 22. Much later, when Abraham was very old, he called his oldest servant to him and made a special request. Abraham asked his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac from among his people in his native country instead of a Canaanite woman from the land of Canaan where they dwelt at the time. The servant set out to fulfill his master's request and arrived in his master Abraham's native country. Once there, he and his camels knelt down at a well of water and he prayed to God. He said, "God, please show my master favor by helping me find a wife for his son Isaac. I will ask a young woman who comes to get water to put her jar down so that I can drink. If she says, 'Drink and I will give water to your camels,' I will know that she is the one that you have chosen." Before he finished praying, a young virgin named Rebecca came to the well. He asked her for water from her jar, and she answered in the correct manner, which was the sign from God. She was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. Ch 24. You see, God provided for his faithful and obedient servant Abraham because he loved him and because he had a plan for Abraham and his son Isaac. By providing for Abraham in the second story, he was also providing for Isaac and contributing to the great plan that he had already set in motion a very long time ago. Isaac went on to become the father of Jacob Israel, God's chosen people. God provides certain things for certain people at certain times for specific reasons that we cannot foretell. Nevertheless, he provides all I need. As I already mentioned, as I write this chapter of this book, I am incarcerated at the LeFour County Jail, awaiting trial for murder. I have always told all the people who called me while they were in jail, asking for money, that they did not need money for anything while in jail. I was selfish, yes, but I also made a valid point. They have free electricity, free shelter and housing, free running water for drinking and bathing, 3 free meals each day, free toiletries, and in most cases, free heat and air conditioning. It's hard out here with all these bills and living expenses. I used to tell them, I have been in jail quite a few times, and each time I either took money to jail with me or I lived off the land, or both. Either way, I never hassled anybody about sending me any money. Take my current situation for instance. I have been incarcerated for approximately 1 year, and up until about 3 months ago, I was under the impression that I had been providing for myself all my life. It wasn't until I began faithfully reading Christian books and material, wholeheartedly studying my Bible, attending Bible study class, and consistently praying and seeking God, that He opened my eyes. Since then, everything is much clearer to me, and I see more clearly every day in my walk with God as I allow the Spirit to lead, help, and teach me in all that I do. A few days ago, on Christmas Day, all of us locked up here in jail each received a free toothbrush and toothpaste, and our daily bread booklet, and a pair of sparkling white brand new socks. Thank God. 4 or 5 days prior to receiving these gifts from New Green Grove Church of Faith, I was just talking to myself out loud about being low on toothpaste and having to spend $3 for another tube on the next commissary day. No big deal, because I can afford it. But little did I know, God, my provider, would provide it for me. A few weeks before that happened, I was talking to myself out loud about having to spend $4 on a stick of deodorant because I was at the point of using a pen to push out and use the remainder left in the empty containers. 1 or 2 days later, a guy had a stick for sale for $1.50, so I bought it. A couple more days later, another guy sold me another stick of deodorant for $2. I thank God in both instances because it was Him who made it happen. I had needed some clean underwear a couple of months ago because the two pairs that I had been wearing were tearing apart and dingy. This is what happens after months of wearing the same boxers and washing them with no bleach. We do not necessarily have to purchase them, but that is an option, even though no one has ever done it. All we have to do is ask the guard who works in our unit, and he or she will give us a pair of underwear shortly or maybe in the next day or so if we don't let him or her forget to do so. There is a guard who works our unit with whom I cannot see eye to eye. This guard thinks that I'm faking this whole man of God thing, and he does not believe that God has changed me. The guard says that I will be drinking beer as soon as I get out of jail. I have tried writing down scriptures and giving them to this person, but he rejects them and yells vain slurs and abusive language. So I try to stay out of his way. But how am I going to get some boxers? I thought to myself, since it did not make any sense to buy them from commissary. After a few days, a guy bailed out of jail and gave me 2 brand new crispy white pairs of boxers that he had not worn because they were too big 100 for him. Don't try and tell me that God will not provide, because I know better. God loves me. He will provide all I need. So He is all need. God loves you and He is all you need. Jehovah's Witness. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:44 KJV. God's word is the truth. God provides answers to our most delicate questions in His truth. About 11 months ago, less than 1 month after my arrival here at the LaFleur County Jail, I met a Jehovah's Witness named Paul. We used to play chess, read my Holy Bible, and read his book of Holy Scriptures daily. He showed me 3 important parts of the Holy Bible that changed my life forever. But to God be the glory, because He arranged this meeting and fellowship between me and Paul a long time ago in the plan that He had put together for me. I will start with the least important of the 3. All my life, I was afraid of dead people. I did not want to be around them in morgues. I did not want to go near cemeteries alone in the dark. And if someone close to me, such as a relative or loved, died, I was terrified of that person revealing himself or herself to me. Through Paul, God provided an answer for my fear of the dead. But the dead don't know anything. They have no more reward. After people are dead, their love, hate, and jealousy are all gone, and they will never again share in what happens on earth. In the grave there is no work, there is no thinking, no knowledge, and there is no wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9:5-6:10. I thank God for providing His truth. I have always known about God and the devil, but I have to admit, I wasn't always proud to say the name Jesus, but I had heard of Him. I thought that God's name was Allah, until God sent this Jehovah's Witness to me to teach me differently. Even though Paul's holy scriptures mention Jehovah's name over 7,000 times, God's name Jehovah is also in the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Genesis 22:14, Exodus 6:3-17-15, Judges 6:24, Psalm 83:18, Isaiah 12:2-26:4. Lastly, I think the most valuable truth that God provided through this guy was the truth about the 144,000. All my life as a so-called Christian, I thought that only 144,000 people would go to heaven. I knew this was a very small number, and I was certain that I was not included. After following the advice of Paul and reading in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 3 through 8, I had hope. At that very moment, while sitting across the table from Paul and another guy, in the middle of the day room, my eyes filled with tears as I realized that I could be spared. That was the turning point of my life. Afterwards, I started believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and hence accepted the great gift of salvation that God had provided. From God, in God. To others, the Spirit has given great faith. 1 Corinthians 12, 9. In the chapter on God's Holy Spirit, I mentioned faith as a gift from God through His Holy Spirit, but I do not elaborate much on it. God loves you and me too. This is how I know. He gives us faith. God provides for us what it takes to please Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. See Hebrews 11, 6. This gift of faith that God provides us with can be compared to a merchant that is very satisfied and well pleased with you as a customer. But here is the catch. The merchant gives you the money that you spend every day. Why would he do that? He would never profit. Maybe he just wants you to be happy. Maybe he loves you. I know that God loves you. And by providing you with the gift of faith, he is opening the doors to give you so much more. God does not need us for anything, but we need him. In order to have him, we must have faith. See Hebrews 11, 6. God provides the faith, but it is useless if we do not use it. If we do not exercise our faith like a muscle, it will never grow. We must utilize and expand this gift that God has provided by stepping out on it in times of uncertainty. To have faith is to use the faith that God has blessed you with. For without faith, we cannot expect anything from God. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Hebrews 11, 20-ev. God is generous and won't correct you for asking. But when you ask for something, you must have faith and not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like an ocean wave tossed around in a storm. If you are that kind of person, you can't make up your mind, and you surely can't be trusted. So don't expect the Lord to give you anything at all. James 1, 5-8 CEV. Our provider. In conclusion, God provides our needs and wants. This was the third chapter of this book that I chose to write, even though it's not chapter 3 of the book. Several times, I have been at a loss for scriptures, but guess what? God provided. He provided the ideas and thoughts. He provided the paper, pens, pencils, dictionary, Bibles, and concordance. He provided the time to devote to writing this book. He provided the intellect a long time ago, but I have just been using it wrongly and not to the fullest extent. God has blessed me with a wide range of skills and abilities that I have been misusing over the years. I have an astounding ear for music that I have been letting go to waste on violent, degrading, vulgar, vain rap. Now that God's Spirit is leading me, I have written 3 albums, all of which contain the gospel, and 1 dedication album. I cannot wait to record them. In the meantime, God has been providing me with opportunities to practice my music in the study groups, church services, programs, and classes that take place. He is working that stage fright out of me and preparing me for the great future that He has for me. God has a great future for you too, because He loves you.